it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, welcome to episode 13 of the Hockey News on the Dub podcast, brought to you by BetMGM. I'm Carol Schramm, and this week I would like to introduce you to my new co-host, Adam Kurzenblatt. Hi, Adam.
Hello, thank you for inviting me to the podcast.
Like me, Adam lives in the Lower Mainland. He's been covering the Vancouver Giants. It's his third season covering the team. And during that time, he's done interviews with NHL Hall of Famers, coaches, players, and former Memorial Cup champions for multiple outlets. You can find Adam's WHL work at the Area 51 Sports Network. And Adam arrives here as a former colleague of our former co-host, Liz Child, who has had to bow out due to extreme busyness situation with her day job with the AHL San Jose Barracuda. So you can still follow Liz and all her WHL predispositions on Twitter at any time. She's still tweeting away. And tell me about how you and Liz first got to know each other.
Well, Liz and I first got to know each other when I joined Dub Network covering the WHL during or just before the bubble season. So, you know, in that October, November of 2020 timeframe, through there, we created a podcast called The Third Line Podcast with two other members of the Dub Network named Chris and Jess. That podcast still goes on. I'm still part of it with Chris and Jess. But then when the Area 51 Sports Network really started to do WHL, we were the first people to move over and try to create this new WHL website. And the Area 51 Sports Network, it covers more than just WHL, but that's where we're focused on. And that's kind of where I know Liz from. So I've known her for the last couple years. I've worked very closely with her for the first couple years, and now I'm happy that I can continue on this podcast from where she left off.
Yeah, and I feel like Liz sort of virtually introduced us as well, because I first got to meet you at the U17 tournament earlier this year, and she had told me to keep an eye out for you. And one thing has led to another, and here we are today, carrying on into the fascinating part of the WHL season with playoffs just around the corner. So lots of fun stuff still to come for the rest of this year. Thanks for doing this, and welcome aboard.
Yes, and I hope I can. I hope I can bring the same level of knowledge and excitement that Liz brought to this podcast and in all her WHL writing.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to that for sure. Diving into this week's episode, we'll start off with headlines and some disciplinary news that has come out of Moose Jaw. Then we'll cover our three stars of the week, get into the Tampa Bay Lightning as our NHL team of the week, and take a look at a couple of impending WHL free agents before finishing off, as always, with our weekly Connor Bedard report. What's been going on for you over the last little bit? What's been keeping you busy?
Well, for me, it's, you know, we just had the Super Bowl on Sunday, so that was a big event, you know, non-hockey, but you gotta love how much effort and, you know, promotion that the Super Bowl does. It's always much watch for the year. Other than that, you know, just been watching the Canucks do whatever they've been doing. I was at the game against the Red Wings the other night. And I really don't know what to say about the Canucks effort, because it's at the point where it's like, why go to the games at this point? Because it's just so clear that they've lost all confidence. And then, you know, covering the Giants, a big weekend this weekend coming up, they got Saskatoon in town. So that's the last of the non-divisional or non-conference games this year. the projection is that Samuel Honzik, who's been out since the World Juniors, is going to be back this week, potentially. That's where it's been going. He's been skating the last couple weeks, so that's going to be a huge boost to the Vancouver Giants, who are, you know, they're in the playoffs. They're kind of settled into that seventh spot, but they can't get really complacent and let, you know, start losing games because Victoria is making a push late season. Kelowna is pretty close to them. And, you know, right now they're scheduled to face off against the Kamloops Blazers. So, while, you know, in the grand scheme of things, why would you want to face off against the Kamloops Blazers in the first round if you don't have to? So we'll see what type of, you know, what type of, what type of momentum Samuel Honzik can bring. Ty Thorpe, their captain, is also injured. So once he gets back, we'll see what happens there. So hopefully the Giants can, you know, refine their footing down the stretch here. They got less than 20 games left in the year. So this is kind of the crunch time to see what type of playoff team they're going to be. So it's exciting all across the WHL as these playoff races start to wind down. And also we start to see evolution of these draft eligible players because a lot of them start kicking up their game with this 20 games left because they know there's more scouts that are watching them at this time of the year rather than at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that makes sense too. And so Saskatoon will be a good test for the Giants this weekend, definitely as one of the more defense oriented teams in the league and a tough opponent. So it'll be interesting to see how they've done. I will be picking over from you at Rogers Arena later this week. I'll be on hand to see the Canucks try their best against the New York Rangers and against Philadelphia this week. And last week, I also did a piece that's up on the website on the Seattle Thunderbirds. You talk about formidable first-round opponents like the Blazers. The Thunderbirds might be even less desirable for the teams that are closer to the bottom of the standings, the way they've loaded up on talent. And now with Dylan Gunther added to the mix in Seattle as well, things are getting more intense than ever. So they're a team that I kind of can't stop watching because I'm just so curious about how the chemistry works with so many stars at their end of things. Now let's move on to our headline segment for this week. And we're starting with a little bit of troubling news out of Moose Jaw, where they announced on the weekend that four of their players have been suspended indefinitely pending the results of an investigation. So that's goaltender Connor Unger, defenseman Max Wanner and Merrick Howell, and forward Lyndon Lakovec.
Yeah, so this is a tough situation, especially because there are minors involved with the players. Some of the players are minors, so there isn't going to be a ton of information that comes out over this. So it's not really great to also speculate what's going on until we have all the information. But yeah, these players have been suspended. There's no timeline on the suspension because there is an ongoing investigation into what happened in the situation. But just looking at, you know, this from a team perspective, Moose Jaw, these are four, you know, important players to the Moose Jaw organization. So it will be interesting to see if they can overcome losing these four players. You know, you're losing your starting goaltender in this situation. And as good as Jackson Unger, who's not related to Connor Unger, even though they have similar last names, there is a spelling difference. But, you know, Jackson Unger, he is a draft eligible prospect, but he hasn't been great this season. You know, he has struggled to an extent. Connor Unger has taken the majority of the start, so that will be interesting. You're losing two of your top defensemen as well. So we'll see if Moose Jaw can overcome this by, you know, with guys like Dante Mateychuk, Brendan Jaeger, and Jaeger Furkus, if they can kind of carry the load like they have for the majority of the year and get them over this, over losing these four players.
Yeah, so Moose Jaw is in fourth place in the Eastern Conference right now. It looks like they're playoff position is pretty solid as we sort of watch and see how this unfolds. But their first game without these four players, they had the misfortune of going up against Connor Bedard and the Regina Pats, and that wasn't exactly a good situation for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll talk about it later, but Connor Bedard absolutely ripped them up, basically, which he has been doing. You know, to be fair, he does that to every team, but yes. This was this was not a good night for Moose Jaw for sure. I know that they do have a comfortable cushion. You know, they're at 69 points through, or sorry, they're, yeah, so they're at 69 points through their first 53 games. Lethbridge has 62 through their first 52. So we'll see if, you know, if that gap is enough to keep them in fourth position. But at this point, they're probably either going to finish in fourth or fifth. So it's more of, are you going to have home ice advantage for the first round when you play Lethbridge, or are you going to have to play on the road against Lethbridge? So that's kind of where we're at. You know, Saskatoon, they're at 72 points, but Saskatoon has played less games and they're just a lot better team. Regina's at six with 53. So yeah, as you did say, they're kind of stuck in that 4-5 position. I don't project, unless they completely fall off a cliff, which would be very unexpected. Any of those teams, it looks like they're set in that Moose Jaw, Lethbridge first round playoff series with home ice to be determined. Kind of like, you know, in the NHL, like we see where Toronto and Tampa Bay are kind of set in that first round playoff series. And now it's just who's going to, even though there's so many games left in the year, it's kind of a battle of who's going to have home ice advantage.
Yeah. So, even though the standing situation is pretty sad, it's certainly an ongoing story, and we'll keep an eye on any updates that come on the situation with these four players and what will happen from here. On a brighter note in WHL news this week, the league announced on Monday that Vegas general manager Kelly McCrimmon will be their 2022 recipient, or 2023, I guess, recipient of the WHL Governor's Award, recognition of his longstanding commitment to the Brandon Wheat Kings.
Yeah, Kelly McCrimmon, people will know him now as the Vegas Golden Knights general manager, but he has been involved in the WHL for the last 27 years. Currently, he serves as an alternate governor. He used to be the owner of the Brandon Wheat Kings, but he did sell it back in 2020. And this is just an award for, you know, people involved in the WHL who have really helped it grow and succeed over their careers. So Kelly McCrimmon started off as general manager. He also was the coach for 13 years. And as we know from his time with Vegas currently, he's a very smart and very good general manager. We've seen, like I said, with Vegas, he's done a lot for the WHL to help grow the league. He is very much deserving of this award. This award also has, some pretty big names attached to it, like Sheldon Kennedy, Ed Chenoweth, Lanny McDonald. Those are some past winners. Ken Hodge also won it back in 2009, 2010. So, this is a very important award and a great opportunity to recognize somebody who, even though he doesn't do a ton for the WHL anymore, he is still part of that WHL family and did help it and has helped it grow to the success that it is now.
And continues to give Brandon Wheat King players opportunities in Vegas too. Yeah. So his loyalty, I'm sure, is very much appreciated by the players that come through that organization. So congratulations to Kelly McCrimmon. All right, now let's move on to our three stars of the week. And we'll start off with the aforementioned Kamloops Blazers, who continue to be one of the stronger teams in the Western Conference. You've got Matthew Semenoff as our third star this week.
So Matthew Semenoff, 3 goals, 1 assist, 8 shots in 2 games against Saskatoon and Prince George. This is a Dallas Stars 2022 6th-round pick. Remember, the owner of the Dallas Stars also owns the Kamloops Blazers, so there is a connection there in Tom Gilardi. But Matthew Semenoff, 46 points in 43 games, including 22 goals. He's second on the team in scoring. And Matthew Semenoff is a good player. I really like him because he doesn't really get talked about too much. You have Logan Cove in there. You have Olin Zellweger now. You have Fraser Minton, guys like Ryan Hofer. Last year, you had Dylan Garand there. So he's one of those guys that kind of slips under the radar, but he has 56 points in 43 games. Like how many other players that have 56 points in 43 games type seasons are like just kind of ignored when it comes to the overall talk of the league. So, you know, this is a guy that I really enjoy watching play. I don't really enjoy watching him play against the Giants because he always seems to, you know, beat them. I've watched a lot of Kamloops Blazers over the past couple years. So I've seen plenty of Matthew Semenoff, and I think that, you know, this was a solid late round pick for the Dallas Stars, who, you know, they're using the fact that they have the connections with the Kamloops Blazers to an advantage to get a player like Matthew Semenoff so late in the draft.
Yeah, and there's a situation where the chemistry he already has with Logan Stankoven could turn out to be a carryover when they move up to the pro ranks as well. So a good choice, an interesting player to watch going forward. For the second star, we'll move up to Prince George, and another guy whose name is maybe not the tip of your tongue when you think of the Prince George Cougars, but this week it was Chase Wheatcroft who dominated the proceedings.
So yeah, Chase Wheatcroft, Prince George, undrafted 20-year-old player here. 4 goals, 5 assists, 25 shots in 4 games. So they played 3 against Kelowna and 1 against Kamloops. But this is another guy who isn't talked about enough. He's leading the Prince George Cougars ahead of Cohen Ziemer and Riley Heed. You know, they also have Ethan Sampson there. They got the 2 drafted goaltenders in Ty Young and Tyler Brennan. So this is another guy who maybe slips under the radar a little bit. But this is a player who I really think is going to get a contract somewhere next year. He'll get an AHL contract, or he'll sign, you know, a team will sign him once that free agency window kind of opens up. And he's one of these guys that, you know, he's not going to dazzle you with amazing puck handling skills or moves, but he's going to drive the net hard. He's going to play, you know, that type of game that really opens up for his teammates, and he's shown that he can cash in on the offense. You know, it is important to know they did play Kelowna 3 times this week, and that does, you know, boost up his point total a little bit, but you know, this was a really well-deserved 4 goals and 5 assists, 9-point week for Chase Wheatcroft. You know, the WHL is a tough league to score in sometimes, especially with all of these back-to-backs and 4 games and 6-night type situation. But yeah, he really stepped up this week, and it was impressive to see.
Yeah. And it's not like this week was an outlier either. He's actually, amidst all the draft eligible players that are kind of dominating the proceedings, he's up to 4th in scoring in the whole WHL now. So kind of his last chance to really make an impression, and Wheatcroft is taking advantage of Prince George. Now our first star this week over in Winnipeg, another very dominant team. This week's star is Connor McLennan.
Yeah, Connor McLennan, another player that I've really liked for the last couple of years. He had 5 goals and 1 assist, 12 shots on goal. He had a hat trick versus Calgary. So they played Calgary twice and Edmonton once for 3 games. But this is another guy who, you know, he was drafted by Philadelphia in 20, sixth round pick. But he's one of these guys that isn't really talked about too much. He is a player that will most likely end up with the in the AHL next year, just based off of his age and how he plays. But, you know, this is a team with guys like Connor Geeky, Matthew Savoy, Carson Lambos, Zach Ostapchuk, and it's Connor McLennan who's really stepped up these last few games. You know, the theme of this week has been really these 20-year-olds who are stepping up, and I've really been impressed with Connor McLennan's game because, yeah, even though he was drafted, he's been getting better and better as the seasons go on. You can tell that he's really stepped up his game. And one of the reasons is that he's not playing the same opponents every night, which is an interesting factor an interesting trend that's happened, you know, watching these players go from playing their own division and conference to the fact that they get to play, you know, Kamloops, Kelowna, Portland, Seattle. Like, they get a play, there's more variety in the schedule, and I actually think that's benefiting the 20-year-olds a lot, because we have seen these really strong 20-year-olds not just in the WHL but across the CHL.
Yeah, that makes sense, that as their development was kind of hampered through all of the pandemic restrictions, now they're finally getting a chance to kind of play on what is a more typical playing field, and A, enjoying it, and B, taking advantage of those opportunities as well. That segues really nicely into our player spotlight for this week, where you've picked out a couple of other undrafted players who are having good seasons and could be in the mix for free agency once the WHL season comes to an end.
Yeah, so I'll start out in Victoria. Both of these are Western Conference guys. Victoria, Jake Poole, you know, the Victoria Royals have not been the strongest team this year, but they're really picking it up late in the season and making for a last minute playoff push. Based off of how they played, I would not be surprised if they passed Kelowna, which is ironic because Jake Poole actually came from Kelowna. He was acquired earlier this year for an eighth round draft pick, and not even a 2023 eighth round draft pick, a 2024. But, you know, this is a guy 6'2", 198 pounds. He's got 55 points in 47 games. He's the leader on that Victoria Royals team. And that's a guy who we could see really get a contract, get an AHL or NHL contract at the end of the season, just based off the fact that he has played so well this year. And I think that even though Victoria will probably have to go up against Seattle in the first round, and I don't know if that series goes past four games, honestly, just based off of Seattle's firepower. But that's a guy who could really, you know, stake his flag in the playoffs and really impress the scouts on a bigger stage with so many scouts in attendance, especially with the games being in Seattle.
Well, and that's a situation where if there's a silver lining, if he does get knocked out of the playoffs early, then his season ends earlier and he can sign as a free agent earlier and move on to his pro career that much sooner and get more games in before the end of this year, right?
Yes, exactly. In the end, I feel like Jake Poole is definitely a name that teams should be paying attention to on the free agent market from the CHL.
Okay, and you had a second player for us as well.
Yes, Jackson Berezowski. Sorry about that. He's the captain of the Everett Silvertips. This is a guy who, you know, really put in the time and effort and has developed all throughout his WHL career. He just scored his 113th career goal with the Everett Silvertips, which makes him the all-time leader in goals for that franchise. Wow. He passed Patrick Bachkov. I believe I'm saying that name correctly. Who had the record at 112, who played from 2013 to 2017. He's got 62 points in 45 games. He's really helped Everett kind of mask that departure of Ryan Hofer and Olin Zellweger. Overall, he's also just a really good player. He's another player that I don't know if he'll get an NHL contract, but I do think that he'll get one of these AHL contracts next year, like we've seen with guys like Quinn Schmiemann or Tristan Nielsen with the Abbotsford Canucks over the last couple of years.
Yeah, interesting to watch. That'll be something once we get into free agent season with the junior players and the college players. It's always interesting to see who lands and who signs where. Now we'll move on to our NHL team of the week. We are still in the Atlantic Division, and this week we're going to do the Tampa Bay Lightning. None of their prospects are currently in the WHL, but it's interesting when you look at the Lightning's draft history. Even though they trade big picks to compete now and they win Stanley Cups, they actually have more picks than you'd think. So they do have a couple of guys that have come out of the dub over the last couple of years and are in their system. So can you tell us about them?
Yeah, so we'll start off with Nico Hutinen, who was with the Everett Silvertips last season. This is a player who was drafted 224th overall in 2021. He had 77 points in 65 games, and then he also had 10 points in 5 games during the playoff series against the Giants last year. He also was designated as the most goals by a rookie in the WHL last year, even though he was an older player. But right now he's over in Finland with Jakrut. He has 28 points in 28 games. He also played for Finland at the World Juniors. He's a guy who, because he's not in North America, he's not really talked about that much. But just based off of watching him play in Everett last year, you can tell that he does have the potential to have a future in the AHL and maybe get that NHL opportunity. You know, he's also one of those guys that, you know, Tampa Bay, like we've talked about, like you just said, Tampa Bay has this way of finding players out of nowhere. And Nico Hootinen's kind of one of those guys, you know, a seventh rounder who's just lighting up every league that he goes to since he's been drafted. And then jumping over to North America, we have a couple players over in the AHL slash ECHL. So first we'll start with Gabe Caves, who also, once again, Everett Silvertip. A lot of Everett Silvertip mentions in this episode, but he drafted 62nd overall in 2020. He's got 120 points in 150 games with the Silvertips, plus 6 points in 10 playoff games during his career. Right now he's with the Syracuse Crunch in 32 points in 45 games, and that matches his total from last year with 70 points. Moving on to another U.S. Division player who played against Goncave quite a bit, Jack Finley, who was with the Spokane Chiefs until 2022 and then was actually traded to the Winnipeg Ice at the deadline last year. He had 127 points in 192 games, plus 21 in 30 playoff games at the WHL. 57th overall in 2020. He's got 14 points in 47 games with Syracuse. So one of those players who is playing a bottom six role for the Syracuse Crunch, who could potentially have a future with the Tampa Bay Lightning just because he does play center and he is a big player at 6 foot six. You know, we seem to notice those bigger players get an opportunity usually in the NHL because they can be fill-ins on that fourth line, where skilled players sometimes take a little bit more time to get that opportunity because rather than having a top six role available, a lot of them can't really play in the bottom six. So that's something to watch. And then lastly, Jane Giroux of the Portland Winterhawks, dominant in the WHL with 196 points in 207 games, had nine points in 14 playoff games, 147th overall in 2020. Sorry about that. He had this year, he's played in the AHL and the ECHL. He's played 12 games with the Syracuse Crunch, but the majority of his time has been spent in the Orlando Solar Bears, who have one of the best names and mascots in the entire ECHL family. But yeah, 12 points in 23 games, 22-year-old. He was drafted a little bit late, but this is a guy who plays on the wing, so we'll see where he ends up. But he was really good in the WHL, so I would be a little bit disappointed if he ends up being an ECHL player for the rest of his career. But it may be one of those situations where he's just a little bit longer. It takes him a little bit longer to develop, and that's why they're starting him in ECHL.
Yeah, and as you say, with the development history that the Lightning have shown, I feel like every player they uncover has some sort of limitless potential, and we might not find out about it until he's like 25 or 26, like Nick Perbix this year. Like, where the heck did he come from? But all of a sudden, he's a regular on defense. Of course, the Lightning do have some pretty strong history of WHL players. Another guy that sort of came out of nowhere was someone called Braden Point that they picked up in the third round, who fell because he was supposed to be too small to be an impact player in the NHL. And given how they struggled without him when he was injured last year in the playoffs, I think to me that really underscores how important Point is to the Lightning success. They also drafted both the Foot brothers out of Kelowna, Nolan and Cal. Nolan has now been traded to the Devils, but Cal is still in the Lightning organization and has over 100 games played with them. And then last year when they were loading up for the players, they added another dub guy out of Red Deer, picking up Brandon Hagel as their big acquisition from the Chicago Blackhawks. He's 26 years old now, and he's a couple years older than Hayden Fleury, who's also in their organization and also came out of Red Deer. So those two were teammates in the dub for one season back in the day. And as we make our way into the prairies, another fine segue, it's Connor Bedard time. As you mentioned earlier, he kind of had his way with Moose Jaw as they were dealing with all their stuff this week. So bring us up to date on where Connor's at.
So Connor Bedard, you know, pretty good season, I would say. 48 goals in 39 games. He now has 111 goals in 116 games. And he's 20 points clear of Logan Stankoven. And remember, he's only played 39 games because he while he wasn't in the while he, when he wasn't dominating the WHL, he was dominating the World Juniors, setting all types of Canadian records as a non-drafted player. So, yeah, he's a little bit special. 3 goals, 2 assists, and 5 shots in his game against Moose Jaw this week. They only played one because the Super Bowl was Sunday, so the schedule was a little bit different this week because no team is going to go up against the Super Bowl, really. All the leagues kind of shut down when that's going on. Just another Connor Bedard performance. I think that's
Yeah, that's why he gets his own segment. So Connor's up to 96 points in 39 games right now. Let's just pause and think about that for a minute. Last year, in what was a very good season, he had 100 points in 62 games. So he's only 4 points shy of matching his total from last year in, 23 fewer games. So is that... given that he had 5 points in his last game and he needs 4 to match last year, 5 to beat it, have his new WHL career best season, are we going to assume that that's going to happen sometime this week? And if so, when?
Yeah, so Regina has 3 games this week. They have Friday versus Prince Albert, Saturday versus Regina. And we'll count Monday as this week because it's family day and they don't usually play games on Mondays. So I guess we'll include Monday into this week's grouping. So I think he'll hit both 50 goals and 100 points this year during that set. But my projection is, so on Friday, he's going to get 2 goals. So he'll get up to 50 on Friday, but he won't hit 100 points because they'll only have 1 assist versus Prince Albert. Prince Albert is a very good defensive team. I know it's kind of weird to say, oh, he'll only have 3 points, but I mean, like we said, he hasn't played. It's very possible he could hit 100 points in 40 games. So, yeah. And then I think that he'll tie or he'll get to 50 on Friday, and then he'll get to 99 points on Friday. And then on Saturday, I could see him getting a goal and an assist, you know, to push past those numbers. By the time they get to the midday game on family day on Monday, he should be at, if my math is correct, he should be at 51 goals and 101 points by the game on Monday. And, you know, that's a game against Lethbridge. That's a very important game for the Regina Pats, who are still fighting for a playoff spot. You know, they're fighting for that 6-7-8 spot. So right now, that's a key game. Lethbridge is a good team, but that's a team that's just above them in the standings. So that family day game will be interesting to watch, especially because it is at that, you know, midday. It's, I believe, at 2 p.m. So around that midday point. And for some reason, those midday games sometimes turn into firework games because players aren't usually, it's a whole different schedule and players aren't 100% awake when the game starts, it seems like.
Yeah, the game day routine's a little bit different for those midday games for sure. Well, I'm always up for Connor Bedard record watch, so I'm excited that we've got more in numbers this week, and it just boggles my mind that there's still 6 weeks left in the season and he's going to blow through the 100-point mark at this stage probably this weekend. So I will be paying attention as usual for sure, and I invite the rest of you to do so as well. That brings you up to date on the goings on in the WHL for this week. Thank you, as always, for listening. And thanks, Adam, for joining us. And thanks to our listeners and viewers for welcoming Adam onto the team. We're looking forward to watching how things unfold here in the Dub as things intensify over the next few weeks and into the playoffs. So should be a lot of fun. Enjoy the long weekend. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the records. And we will see you next week.